Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Mem Bet Amud Aleph, five lines down. Gemara here is continuing to discuss the drashot that are brought about Balashon Naki. In the previous daf, we just spoke about the fact that there are some people who need Balashon Naki for other drashot. And the Gemara, since the bottom of yesterday's daf, began to describe to us other possible limudim from Balashon Naki. Yesterday's daf, we spoke about Rabbi Eliezer's opinion with regards to Balashon Naki. Then it means Naki Mikhatsi Kofer. So today we have other brightot that are brought that bring us drashot of Balashon Naki. And the first one is Tani Yidach. We have another brightot that says Balashon Naki. Rabbi Yossi Aglil Omer, Naki Midmei Valadot. That says that he's not chayav to pay for Dmei Valadot. That is for the miscarried fetus that is caused to the pregnant woman. And over here, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who says that the Limura Balashon Naki is to teach us that your patur midmei vladot is to the exclusion of what Rabbi Eliezer said yesterday, that it is coming to be poter chatzi kofer. It's coming to be poter mechatzi kofer. From that difference, the Gemara concluded earlier on that the shita of Rabbi Yossi Aglili is that you do pay chatzi kofer because he uses balashon naki to exclude demei vladot and not like Rabbi Eliezer to exclude demei chatzi kofer. And for that reason, the Rishonim noted for us earlier in the Masechta, Rabbi Yossi Aglili is always the one who the Gemara claims has the Shita that a Tam pays Chatzi Kofer. The reason that Rabbi Eliezer says Chatzi Kofer and not the reason that Rabbi Yossi Aglili brought, as well as we're going to see later in today's daf, the reason that Rabbi Akiva said it is Patur Midmei Eved, the Baliat Tosafot in the previous Amud explained to us that gives reasons by going through the other possibilities, but the primary reason that Rabbi Eliezer does not subscribe to this, as the Balei Tosafot say, is Rabbi Yishtamar Tamacher. Rabbi Eliezer Dimistaver Lelukmei Bekofer Mikol Davar Dehachi Mashmalei Pashtei Dekra, because that's the simplest reading of the pasuk that Ubala Shurnaki is coming to discuss the topic that is mentioned in that parshia, which is im kofer yishat alav benatan pidyon nafsho. Since that's the topic of the parshia, when you say balashon naki, naki must be referencing to the chatzi kofer. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi Aglili believes that the chatzi kofer makes more sense to be mechayev the tam, because the tam is chayev in chatzi nezek. And therefore, it doesn't seem logical to him that you would exclude chatzi kofer when the animal is chayev Chatzi Nezek, and that's why he's Mechayev over here, Demei, why he says that the Ptur of here is coming to eliminate Demei Vladot and not the Chatzi Kofer. Amarlo Rabbi Akiva, Hare Omer. The Pasuk says with regards to Demei Vladot, which is the source for this halakha over here, that when you have two people that are fighting, so here there is a requirement that if two individuals are fighting and then they hit a pregnant woman, the pregnant woman who miscarries, they have to make restitution for the miscarried fetuses as long as the woman herself is not killed. If the woman is killed, then there is commonly the rabbi minei, and they won't pay the demei v'ladot. So what Rabbi Akiva says is the opening line for demei v'ladot to that halacha of paying for the miscarriage is v'chiyah natsu anashim, when men are fighting. And that would imply that anashim v'lo shvarim, that it's only when men are fighting, not when a shor is involved. And so then why do you need bala shor naki to come to exempt the shor from paying the maid v'ladot when the obligation to pay the maid v'ladot is found in a parshiyah that begins v'chiyah natsu anashim, which is to the exclusion of shvarim? So shapir kama Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva really does have a good claim here against the position of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Amar Rav Ula Breid Ravidi, Itzrich, you need this. Sagadat Chamina, I would have thought, Anashim Velo Shvarim Hadomim La Anashim. I would have thought when the Pasuk says that it is Anashim and not Shvarim, that's with the Shvarim that are Domim La Anashim. Ma Anashim Mu'adim. Just like a Gever and Ish is Mu'ad Le'olam, Av Shvarim Mu'adim. So too, the case would be by Shvarim that are Mu'adim Lo'am. Hatam Mechayev. But from that alone, I would have thought that the Tam is Chayav. Rashi takes this at face value and says that the Chiyah Natsu Anashim is a Mi'ut for a Mu'ad. And since I have a Mi'ut for a Mu'ad, I don't have a Mi'ut for a Tam. That is exactly what the Gemara paints as the Havamina over here. that I'd be patur for to make bladot if the mu'ad is the one who causes the woman to miscarry. Whereas if it's a tam that caused the woman to miscarry, you would be chayav for the dmei v'ladot. So then you have this wild havamina, which is that the mu'ad would actually be more mekil than the tam himself. Tosafot, even as the havamina is unwilling to accept this, even though the Gemara itself is going to ask a question on this, is unwilling to accept this as being a plausible havamina, and therefore the Balei Tosafot explain here that everybody agrees that if the tam is chayav, then also the mu'ad is chayav for that half. The tam half of the mu'ad is chayav for. So if we say that your chayav chatzi nezek for the dmei v'ladot by the tam, so too by the mu'ad you'll be chayav for the chatzi nezek of the dmei v'ladot. The only question is by the mu'ad, the chatzi of the mu'ad, are you patur or chayav over there? And that's what the Gemara is saying over here. For that additional chatzi of the mu'ad, you would be patur. Therefore, katav rachmana balashur naki de patur. That's what the Torah teaches you by balashur naki, to teach you that even the tam is patur, because balashur naki is written by the case of a tam. And so, just like the mu'ad is patur for the dmei v'ladot, so too the tam is patur for the dmei v'ladot. So the havamina would have been that mu'ad is patur, tam is chayav. The conclusion is balashur naki tells you that even a tam is patur. And that's even, according to the Balei Tosafot, it's the Havamina that you'd be chayav for the tzad tamut, both by a tam and by a mu'ad, and you'd be patur for the tzad mu'ad. All comes along the pasuk of Balashnur Daki to tell you that that tzad tamut is also patur both by the tam and by the mu'ad. Where it says, Amarova yitziva v'aro v'giora b'shmei shmayo. That is a backwards logic. Yitziva means the ezrach, is ba'aro, is on the ground. The Giora and the Ger and the stranger is Bishmei Shmaya, is up in the heavens. Meaning that here you have a hierarchy that is completely upside down. The person who is the citizen is down below, and the stranger, the one who's the outsider, is elevated or all the way up. It is premised on the pasuk that we find in the Tochacha that says that the Ger Asher Bikur Becha Yale Mala Mala Va'ata Tered Mato Mato. So there, that expression is an expression of this backwards or upside down situation, which means that there's a failure in logic over here. The way that you're expressing it is that you would have thought the Havamina would be that the Mu'ad is Patur, the Tam is Chayav, which is completely backwards. And then the puzzle comes to tell you, oh, the Tam is also Patur. That logic doesn't seem to make any sense. That's the way Rashi learns it. The Balei Tosafot too learned that even the Tzad Tamut would be Chayav for the Tam and for the Mu'ad. But the Gemara's question, or the logic that they're not satisfied with, is if the tzad tamut is chayav, how could you say the tzad mu'ad is patur? Again, it makes no sense that the mu'ad should have a greater exemption than the tam. Elohama Rova says this is the way you have to view it. Itzrich zalkadat chamina anashim velo shvarim. I would have thought from the pasuk by kichinatzu anashim that comes to teach you anashim velo shvarim hadomim la'anashim. Again, shvarim that are similar to anashim. Ma'anashim mu'adim, av shvarim mu'adim. Just like anashim are mu'ad, adam mu'ad, the olam, so too by shvarim mu'adim, that's where you would be patur from the dmei v'ladot, v'kav v'chomer l'tamim. And certainly a tam, diptirate, that they'd be patur from the dmei v'ladot. If the mu'ad is patur from the dmei v'ladot, of course the tam is patur from the dmei v'ladot. Hadar kotov rachmano, that's what the pasuk says, balashur naki. Balashur naki comes to teach you that tam patur u'mu'ad chayav. That the tam is patur over here, and the mu'ad is chayav. And the Balei Tosafot suggests that the way to read this is, it's coming to qualify or to narrow the scope of chiyanatzu anashim. Anashim velo shvarim at first would have taught us that shvarim, both the mu'ad and the tam, are patur midvei v'ladot. Along comes the pasuk of balashur naki to tell you that only the tam is patur from dmei v'ladot, but the mu'ad is chayav for dmei v'ladot. Or, in essence, when we say that anashim velo shvarim, we're speaking about a tam and not a mu'ad. And that is taught to us or explained to us by the balashur naki, that only the tam is exempt and not the mu'ad. So here the logic flows much more smoothly, which is, in the first place, you would have thought, just like the mu'ad is patur, of course the tam is patur. Along comes balashur naki to tell you only the tam is patur, and that means that the mu'ad is chayav. Amalei Abaye. Abaye says to him, elemiato. If that is the logic that you're going to use, kabe boshet nama nemehochi. Why don't you say the same thing with regards to boshet, anashim velo shvarim, Adomim l'anashim, that it's true by anashim, but not by shvarim that are domim l'anashim. Ma anashim mu'adim, av shvarim mu'adim. Just like Adam is mu'ad olam, so too a shor mu'ad would be in the same position. V'kavachomer l'tamim diptire. And certainly a tam should be patur. The way Rashi learns this is that it's based on the psukim by bullshit. Psukim and bullshit are found in dvarim. Perek Chav Hei, Ki Anatsu Anashim Yachdav Ish Ve'achiv, and there is an altercation between two people, Ve'karva Ish Et Ha'achad Latzilet Isha Miyad Makeyu, and one of the wives of one of these individuals comes to save her husband from the person that's attacking, V'shulcha Yadav Ve'chazika B'mushav, and she grabs his private parts in order to save her husband, V'katzauta Et Kapa Lo Talchos Einecha, you have to sever her hand, have no mercy. And the Gemara learns on Katzutat Kapa that she has to pay mamon, or in essence, she has to pay boshet. She has to pay for the embarrassment caused by using this methodology for stopping the person that was hurting her husband. Again, we discussed earlier in the Masechta as to what exactly the scenario is and whether she is or is not allowed to use this mechanism for saving her husband. But the psukim there begin, ki natsu anashim, that when two people are having an altercation, similar to ki natsu anashim in Mishpatim, where they end up bumping into the pregnant woman. So if you're willing to learn anashim velo shvarim by the case of the dmei v'ladot, you should also have that same limud by the boshet. And therefore, hadar katav rachmana balashor naki, then we come to the parshia of the shore, and we find out that only a shor tam is patur, not a shor muad, and therefore tam patur umuad chayav. The tam should be patur, the muad will be chayav by boshet. V'chitei ma'achanami, if you say yes, ain't ochanami, that the din by boshet is the exact same din as the mei v'ladot, that the tam will be patur and the muad will be chayav. Yehochi litnei balashor naki, then the bright that we brought before should read in the following manner. Balashornaki, Rav Yosef Lili Omer, Patur mi dmei vladot umi boshet. Boshet should be included in the limud from Balashornaki because it impacts on boshet the same way that it impacts on dmei vladot. So that can't be the explanation of the position of Rav Yosef HaGalili. Now here, the Balei Tosafot, the many Rishonim ask, why did the Gemara only ask about boshet? What about the other arba'a dvarim? Why don't we ask about those? And those also have the word anashim that is used by them. And so why can't we say the same thing over there? Anashim velo shvarim. So the Tosafot over here explains why each one of the arba'ad varim is distinct or different than boshet and would not be subject to the limud that we have by the boshet. Although the Rashba another Rishonim suggests that the Gemara's question by boshet wasn't coming to exclude the other Arba Dvarim. It was just an example of the other Arba Dvarim. And the same would be true by those items as well, that we could have asked the same question. But because of that, we have to alter the explanation of Rav Yosef Lili. And therefore the Gemara says, Ela Abayev Rava de Amre Tarvayu. In the end, if the Abayev Rava have the same position here, is Anashim Ein Ason B'Isha Ya'anshu, by men. If there is no fatality by the woman, yanshu, they pay for the dmei v'ladot. Yesha son v'isha, if there is a fatality, meaning that the woman is killed, then lo yanshu, they will not be, or not have to pay the dmei v'ladot because of kamle derabamine. V'lo shvarim, that's not true by a shor. Da'afagav de yesha son, even in the case where there is a fatality, yanshu, they still have to pay for the dmei v'ladot. Hadar katav rachmana, that's why the Torah writes, Balashor Naki de Patur. Balashor Naki comes to teach you that you patur midme vladot, even though you might have had a havamina from the word anashim, that's the exclusion of shvarim, that the me vladot would have application by the shor, even in the case of a son, even in the case where there is a fatality. Now, when the Gemara here says Balashor Naki, according to most of the Rishonim, it is different than the Balashor Naki before. Before the Balashor Naki came to say that the tam is patur, the mu'ad is chayav. Over here, the Gemara, when it says, katav b'achmana balashor naki, means naki legamre, meaning that doesn't mean both by tam and by mu'ad, they will be p'turim. We're no longer making a distinction between tam and mu'ad. We're simply saying that maybe we would have thought that ish and shor should be differentiated, and that ason and the kamle derabine is only applicable by the adam, but is not applicable by the shor. Along comes the Balashor Naki to tell you that the Balashor Naki also doesn't pay Dmei Vladot when there is a fatality. That's the view of Rashi and many of the Rishonim. Although the Ra'ah and the Reed both say that that's not the case, and that the explanation over here is similar to the way it was before in the Gemara, that Baal Lashon Naki comes to tell you that a Tam is Pator, and that a Muad is Chayav. That means that by Dmei Veladot, if there is an Ason by a Tam, meaning that if there is a fatality in that case, then you would not pay Dmei Veladot. By the Muad, it would be Chayav for the Dmei Veladot, based on the way that they read and are reading. It's similar to the way that it was explained previously, that Baal Lashon Naki is only an exemption for the Tam and not for the Muad. So then, Matikla Rav Adar Ba'ava. So then, Rav Adar Ba'ava challenges this position of Bai Rava. Atu Bason Talia Milta. Is the fatality the key element here in determining whether the Ish or the Anashim are Chayavim by the case of the Dmei Veladot? B'Kavanah Talia Milta. It has to do with intent rather than Bason with the fatality. The way Rashi explains it over here, Rashi has a complicated explanation, and an explanation that's rejected by the majority of the Rishonim. We'll explain why in a second. So what Rashi says is, the Sfira Leder of Adok Rabbi Shimon. First of all, Rav Adar Ba'ava holds like Rabbi Shimon, Damar, that says in Sanhedrin, Ve'ilin and Serfim, Nitzkaven Laroget Zeh, Varaget Zeh. If a person intends to kill one party, and mistakenly kills another party, Patur Mimita. They're not subject to the death penalty, because they didn't intend to kill the person that they ended up killing. V'chayav b'mamon, but they are chayav for any monetary compensation that they would have to make in that case. And the reason being, the letlay, the Tana de Beit Chizkia. They don't hold of Tana de Beit Chizkia. Tana de Beit Chizkia, which we saw earlier in the Masechta, which is that Amar lo chalakta bo ben mitkaven l'shenu mitkaven l'chayvo mamon el patro mamon. That there's no difference between the intent of the individual in order to exempt them from monetary payment, or that Kimle Derabim Minei applies whether the person intended to kill this person or whether the person did not intend to kill this person. In the end, if they killed someone, they are patur from paying any nezek or any reparations because of Kimle Derabim Minei. So what Rashi says is two things. Number one is that Rav Adar Ba'ava holds like Rabbi Shimon. The second thing is that they reject Tana de Beit Chizkia. The combination of those two things make it that the only thing that matters in terms of being chayav for the Dmei Veladot or not is intent, which is that if you intended to kill the individual and you successfully killed them, then you will not be chayav for the Dmei Veladot, or you will not be chayav for any monetary compensation there because of Kamle Derabim Minei. On the other hand, if you intended to kill one person and then ended up killing someone else, over there you will not be chayav mita, and you will not be able to invoke Kamle Derabim Minei because you don't hold like Tana de Beit Chizkia, and therefore you'll be chayav for the Dmei Veladot. So the only thing that matters for Rav Adar Ba'ava is Kavanah. If you intended to kill this individual and succeeded, you'll be chayav mita, and you will not be chayav for the damim or the dmei veladot. On the other hand, if you intended to kill someone and end up being someone else, then there is still a chiyuv dmei veladot, and there's no exemption for kamle derabim minei. And that Rav Adar Ba'ava is saying to Abai Verova, what does this have to do with fatality, no fatality? It has nothing to do with whether there is or isn't a fatality. It has to do with whether the intended victim was the one that was killed. And that's the only thing that matters, that kavanah or ain't kavanah. Now the Balei Tosafot, many other Rishonim, question Rashi's pshat for two basic reasons. Number one is that we see in the Gemara in Ketubot and other places that the Gemara basically takes it for granted and says, who doesn't hold the Tana de Beit Chizkia? Tana de Beit Chizkia is held by everyone, and that is a shita that is accepted or well accepted. And therefore it's strange that you would have Rav Adar Ba'ava himself rejecting Tana de Beit Chizkia. That's number one. Number two is, just because Rav Adar Ba'ava holds like Rabbi Shimon, why should he reject the position of Bai Rava who don't hold like Rabbi Shimon? Just because they disagree with him that the halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon, why should Rav Adar Ba'ava come and question the position of Bai Rava? He can say, I disagree, but why is he questioning or undermining their position if he holds like Rabbi Shimon? They don't hold like Rabbi Shimon, so it's not a question on them. It's not an issue at all. So for those two reasons, the Balei Tosafot think that Rashi's explanation here is incorrect, and therefore the majority of Rishonim believe that Rav Adar Ba'ava and Abai and Rava all agree, either like Rabbi Shimon or the Chachamim, as to when one intends to kill one party and ends up killing the wrong party, are you chayav or patur? That's the machloket between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon. And Abai and Rava and Rav Adravo subscribe to one of those positions. And within that position, that's where they're arguing. They're arguing within that position what exactly is the trigger for having to pay the Dmei Veladot. So most of the Rishonim then explain the machloket here between Abaye and Rav Adravo revolving around Tana Dmei Chizkia, about how expansive the view of Tana Dmei Chizkia is to say that you are patur from paying monetary payment when there is a death penalty, or even in situations where there is no death penalty, but it is associated with the death penalty. For Abaye and Rava have a more expansive view of Tana Dmei Chizkia, and on the other hand, Rav Adravo has a more narrow view of where Tana Dmei Chizkia applies. The Balei HaTosafot have a take on this. Their position with regards to Abaye and Rava is pretty straightforward, which is that Abaye and Rava believe that the tour that the shore gets from the Dmei Veladot is associated with the case in which the Torah is speaking about Ki Inatsu Anashim V'Nakfu Yishahara, and therefore it says V'Nir Lari, the Rava Abaye lo yopotrim shvarim midmei Veladot minaki ela davka heicha delo nitkavnu liisha. It's only when they don't intend to hit the woman. Similar to the circumstance and situation in which the psukim in the Torah are speaking about. The psukim in the Torah are talking about two people quarreling, where one goes to hit the other, and that person either ducks or gets out of the way, and then instead of hitting his friend, he ends up hitting this woman, and causing her to miscarry, or, in the unfortunate case, killing her. And so that's the scenario in which the Torah is speaking about. That scenario is where we say Anashim Velo Shvarim. And that means that the tour of Shvarim is also only in a case where the shore intended for one and end up hitting the pregnant woman. And that's a case where there'd be Patur Mitmei Vladot. But on the other hand, if the shore targeted the woman specifically and caused her miscarry, then they would be Chayav. Similarly to the situation in which an Adam, had he had Kavanah to kill the woman, of course he'd be subject to the death penalty. That's not what the scenario in the Torah is speaking about, and therefore the Torah of Dmei Veladot does not extend from that. On the other hand, Rav Adravo subscribes to a position of Rabbi that is found in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. It's a little difficult to explain, but this complicated way of explaining Rav Adravo is premised on that sheet of Rabbi in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, which says that there is a distinction between Kavanah and lack of Kavanah. If Nitkavin Haragadzeh Haragadzeh, where he intended to kill his friend and he ends up killing the woman who is the Ishahara, you still make compensation, you still make payment over there, because it says Nefesh Tachat Nefesh. That Nefesh Tachat Nefesh is Tashlum Mamon. Only in a case where they intended directly for the woman and killed her would there be a Ptur of Kamlei Derabim Minei. But in essence, you are Chayav for whether it's Nitkavin or Nitkavin, and therefore by the shore, the Ptur of Nitkavein and Enu Nitkavein would be of a similar nature, which is that the shore would be patur whether it intended to kill one person and ended up hitting the pregnant woman, or whether it intended for the pregnant woman and killed her. In that case, the shore would be patur mitmei vladot. Therefore, the Ikam Achalok between Abaye and Rava and Rav Adravo is, by the case of a shore that intentionally kills the woman, is there still a chiyuv dmei vladot, where Abaye and Rava would say yes, and Rav Adravo would say no, and that's what you need Bala Shor and Nakid to come along and tell you, that the Tam is patur for Rabbi and Rava in the case where it intended for one and ended up hitting the pregnant woman. Or in the case of Rav Adravo, even in the case where it intended for the pregnant woman, there you'd also say that the Tam is patur and not Chayav. In that way, Tosafot explains the difference between Rabbi and Rava. So now the Gemara continues and says, Chen ki atav Rav Chagai midaroma. Similarly, when Rav Chagai came from the south, he brought a brayta with him, Kavate the Rav Adravo, that supports this view of Rav Adravo about what's the reasoning for Rav Yosi Aglili in Balashur Naki against that position of Abaye and Rava. So now, Tani Yidach, we have another brayta about a drush about Balashur Naki. Balashur Naki, Rav Kiva Omer, Naki midmei eved. That he doesn't have to pay for the compensation of an Eved that is killed. Remember that the Torah tells us that when a Shor Mu'ad kills an Eved Knani, that the Balim are Chayav Shloshim Shkalim. It's a Knas that they pay, no matter what the value of the Eved is, they have to make compensation of 30 Shkalim. So Rabbi Akiva says, Ubala Shor Naki comes to teach you that the Shor Tam does not have to pay Dmei Eved, does not have to pay that Shloshim of Eved. Not clear here when Rabbi Akiva says, Patur Midmei Eved, whether he means that you are patur from the knas of Eved, the shloshim of Eved, but you would be chayav in the damim, in the payment of the underlying value of the Eved. But when we say patur mi dmei Eved, it means completely patur from any compensation for the killing of the Eved. The Bali et Tosafot bring both possibilities on the following amud, which is Nakim mi dmei Eved perish mi shloshim shel Eved, v'yesh mifarshim afilu damim lo mishalem v'koshken knas. There are some who say that you don't even pay the chatzi value of the individual as well. So the shita that believes that the p'tur is only from the knas, but you still pay the damim, is because the p'tur can only affect that which the Torah explicitly says you are chayavin. So the Torah explicitly says you're chayavin the knas. So the p'tur of Balashor Naki comes to eliminate from that and saying that you do not pay the knas, but you still will be chayav like you are mazik, the property of your friend. On the other hand, the Daya that believes that you are patur the gamre, not only from the knas, but also from the damim, says it can't be possible that if you are patur la knas, when the animal does it bekavanah, that you should be chayav on the damim when the animal does it shelo bekavanah. And therefore, the patur here must be complete patur. The Rambam in Chilchot Chovel Mazik Perk Yud Alach Yudalit says, Yirali, she'afal pisha tam she'mit eved. Because the Eved is no different than the property of your friend. And so yes, the exemption takes you out of the obligation that the Torah imposed of the Knas of the Shloshim Shekel. But in the case where the animal does it Shlo Bekavana, is not Chayav Mita, then the Balim have to pay as if they did Hezek to their friend's possession. And therefore they'll pay Chatzi Damim or Chatzi Anezek Migufo Shela Shur. Gemara says, V'neim Rabbi Kiva Nafshei. Why doesn't Rabbi Kiva ask the question he's been asking on Rabbi Yosef Glili? And the same question he asked on Rabbi Elazar in yesterday's daf. What do you need Balashor Naki for? Because the only way to make compensation by a Shur Tam is Migufo. And if the Shur is Chayav Mita over here, then it's a dead shore, and there's no goof of the shore to pay from. And that was the question that he posed to Rabbi Eliezer yesterday. And over here, he could pose that same question to himself. Halo atzmo enu mishtalei mele migufo. The Tam only pays out of its own body, and therefore, he can make a claim to him, if he will pay to him, mishalem lecha. The mazik could say, bring the shore to Beit Din, and I'll pay you. You can take the shore. Meantime, the shore is on death row, because he killed a human being. And Beit Din is going to put him to death, and there's no shor left with which to pay this individual. And that's why you're patur. You don't need Balashor Naki to teach you that. You would know that just because of the fact that a Tam pays out of Miguvo. Samar of Shmuel Bar Yitzvah, Yishakodom Balav Vishachato. It's a case where the Balim jumped the gun and shechted the animal prior to the Gemar Din, before Beit Din decided that it was going to receive the death penalty. Maudutemo, I would have thought Lishtalim Minei, you still pay out of it, because over here where he jumped the gun and shechted it, it still has value. It's not after the Gemar Din, and it's not Asur Ba'achilar Ba'hana'a. So maybe the Nizak should be entitled to take that from him to collect the Dmei Eved. Kamash Malon, Ubalashor Naki, comes to teach you that that's not the case. Hol Bar Ketaloho, since it's on death row, or will be on death row, Avagav D'Shachte, Lo Lishtal Minei. Since he is patur because of the fact that it's going to end up being killed, even if he shecks it prematurely, you still don't have any entitlement to take payment from there, because the payment, it was wiped out from the moment that this shor was subject to the possible death penalty, or should have been given the death penalty for killing a human being. So, irochi, if that's the case, Rabbi Lezer Nami, why didn't Rabbi Lezer in yesterday's daf give the same answer that kishakadam b'shachato? Why didn't he answer Rabbi Akiva, what's the case where I have a short tam that is not subject to mita, and you could possibly pay out of the goof of the shore? It's a case, kadam v'shachato, case where he jumped the gun and shechted it before the Gemara Din. Why did Rabbi Akiva suggest that on behalf of Rabbi Eliezer? It says, Ochanami, and Ochanami. Rabbi Akiva knew this reason, and could have given it or did give it for Rabbi Eliezer. Savar, dilma idle, time achrina, da'adif mehai. He just thought that maybe Rabbi Eliezer had a better answer to the question than Rabbi Akiva himself, and then he would have told him about it. Akiva's answer is okay, and we're going to see in a second it's not so great an answer, because Rabbi Lezer himself would not accept it, but Rabbi Akiva was looking for better answers, and therefore he didn't offer this alternative on behalf of Rabbi Lezer. He did not withhold from asking the question of Rabbi Lezer because of this reason, because he didn't feel like it was a strong enough reason. Rabbi Lezer, Nami Lishnei Lei, why did Rabbi Lezer himself offer this as an explanation. Shekadam b'shachato. Amelucha, Rabbi Elazar will say to you, Hotomu denitkavin narogat abeima, varogat adam. The way that I explained it in the end, that the case there was a case where the animal intended to kill another animal and ended up killing a human being, the shor lav bar katalohu, kalal. Over there, the shor is not subject to a death penalty at all. So therefore, over there, sakadat chamina nechayiv. Over there, it makes sense to say possibly you'd be chayav to pay kofar in that case, because there's no death penalty on the horizon whatsoever. So therefore, it's to crawl the mute. That's why I needed Bala Shor Naki to come along and tell me that that's not the case. You don't have to pay kofar in that instance. Of a hocha, in our case of here, demikara bark talahu, from the outset that he is subject to the death penalty, lo tzarichra, you don't need a pasuk at all. Afagav deshachte, even if he jumped the gun and shechted it, from day one, this animal is subject to a death penalty because it killed someone and it intended to kill that person. And therefore, they're subject to a death penalty. Just because the Balim jumped the gun and shechted it doesn't change the fact that this shor is on death row. If it's on death row, that's not a way to explain how there is value in this shor tam for the nizak to possibly collect on. And I'd rather have the other reasons that I gave, Rabbi Elazar says. Plus, I don't think that you need Bala Shor Naki at all over here to do or to explain to you that you're patur, because you would have assumed you're patur because of the death penalty that this shor is subject to. Uder Akiva Nami Badai Hachiavo. So Gemara says, you know what? Rabbi Lezer's claim here, Rabbi Lezer's explanation is very strong. And Rabbi Akiva himself would have to accept it as well, which is that Rabbi Akiva would have to accept the fact that there's no reason for you to tell me about Bala Shor Naki here to be patur. You would have assumed you're patur because the shor is going on death row for killing an individual. That's Rashi's approach, that it's pshita, that Rabbi Akiva can't utilize this as being the hava mina because it's so simply wrong, like Rabbi Elazar presented over here. The Rashba adds to that and says that in this case, when the person jumps to shecht it before the Gemar Din, he's also doing something wrong. And why would you set up the case as a case where a person is acting inappropriately? And that's what garners the case where you have a tam that has value. I'd much rather use examples of cases where the person acts appropriately and still the tam has residual value. I heard this from a great individual. Umanu Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. Who is it? Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. Salkadat Chamina. I would have thought, Hoel Vama Rabbi Akiva, Aftam Shechaval Badam Mishalem B'motar Nezek Shalem. So we learned earlier in the Mishnah, back on Daf Lamed Gimel, that Rabbi Akiva believes that the differentiation of Tam and Muad is only applicable for a shor that does damage to another shor or to possessions of an individual. But a shor that does damage to a dam, there is no distinction or differentiation of Tam and Muad, and therefore even a Tam will pay Nezek Shalem when it damages an Adam. So Rabbi Akiva Lashitato, who says that a Tam pays full Nezek, so Mishtalem Nami Dmei Eved Ma'aliyah. I would have thought that maybe the 30 shekel that you pay for the Eved Kanani that is killed, yes, by a Tam, it is paid me Gufo normally when it comes to Nezek, but we saw here that when it comes to Adam, there is no such thing as chatzi nezek of a shor tam, and you pay nezek shalem. So sot over here, by the dmei eved, by the tam, when he kills it, maybe he would also not pay me gufo, he would pay me aliyah. He would pay out of the possessions of the individual, not out of the mazik, or the animal that did the damage itself. From the Gemara Rav says nezek shalem, maybe it's nezek shalem aliyah. Kot of Rachmano, therefore the Torah tells you, bala shor naki, that the tam is patur from paying for this dmei eved kanani, this 30 shekel kenas, even though there could have had a havamina that you should have paid it with a short time. Be Rabbi Akiva the Shitato, who says that any short time that damages a dam, chayav nezek shalem, we thought maybe also me'aliyah. Gemara says, Amarle Rabbi Zer the Rav Asi. Rabbi Zer says to Rav Asi, that's a really nice explanation. The only problem with it is, Vatavri Rabbi Akiva the Gzizei. Didn't Rabbi Akiva himself break his sharpness? Didn't Rabbi Akiva already smash his fist or break his fist, meaning that he dispelled coming to such a conclusion or extrapolating from his din to say it's totally like a muad, and says that it does have trappings of a tam. The Tanya Rabbi Akiva Omer, Yochol Yeshalem Min Aliyah, you would think that when it comes to this payment of Nezek Shalem by the tam that damages an Adam, that you would pay from Aliyah, not Miguf of the animal. Tamal Omer K'mishpat Hazeh Ya'aseh Lo. Based on what we have the laws here, that's what you will do to him. Migufo mishalem, enu mishalem in aliyah. You pay from the guf of the short time and not from the aliyah. So Rabbi Kiva's din that you pay nezek shalem when a short time damages an adam is also qualified by the fact that it only comes migufo of the animal and not min aliyah. So the whole premise of your salkadat chamin or your havamin in Rabbi Kiva is completely wrong. Because Rabbi Kiva never thinks that you would pay me'aliyah, that you would pay anything besides migufo of the short time when it comes to a time that is doing damage to adam. And similarly, by the Eved that was killed, there's no reason to say that the short time should be paying min aliyah, not mi gufo. If it's paying mi gufo, then there's no havamina that you have to pay over here because of the fact that the shore is going to be put to death and it'd be worthless. And then you could say to the nizak, come and collect your money. There's nothing left to collect from. El amarova itzrich. This is why we need it. Salkadat chamino umachmireni be'eved yutermi ben chorin. We were more machmir by an eved than a ben chorin, than a free individual. So ben chorin yafes sela notain sela. A ben chorin that's worth one sela, then the compensation restitution is one sela. Shloshim, if he's worth 30 sela, 30 shekel, notim shloshim, then you pay shloshim, you pay the true value of the individual that was killed or damaged here. The eved yafes sela. On the other hand, an eved that's worth one sela, notain shloshim, you pay 30. There's no connection between the payment to the eved and the real value of the eved. So mishtalel nami may eved min aliyah. Then I would have thought, just like by the fact that you do not abide by the real valuation or value of the eved, and you pay more, so too, maybe by dmei eved, the shloshim shekel should all be paid min aliyah. Should be paid out of the assets of the individual, and not migufo of the shore that did the damage. Katav rachmana. That's why the Torah told you Bala Shornaki, to teach you that that is not the case, and that the Me'evet is paid Migufo, and there is no exception to the rule here to allow the Me'evet to be paid when the Shor is put to death, or when the Shor Tam is put to death. So over here, the Rishonim, you can see in the Bala Tosafot, they also asked the question, which is the Gemara makes an assumption here that the 30 shekel of an Evet is a Chumrah, and not a Kula. The truth is that the Eved could be worth more than 30 shekel, and then it would be a kula. So why does the Gemara only here emphasize the side that the Eved is worth less than the 30 shekel, and therefore it turns out to be a chumrah? Why doesn't it mention or a possibility that it's more than the shloshim shekel, and it's actually the kula, and then this whole havamina would fall apart? So the Balei HaTosafot say over here, she'le'olam ha'kitzvah meret, imkein gam k'sheshor ein sheveh klum kayemet. So the way that the Balei HaTosafot explain it is that since there are both, you're right, both cases where Shloshim Shekel as a static payment can sometimes be worth more and sometimes be worth less, but the fact that it can be worth more in cases makes it already a Chumrah. Yes, there are times that it's a Kula, but the fact that it still exists in the position of a Chumrah makes it a Chumrah over Ben Chorin. That's the way that the Balei HaTosafot answer it. Other Rishonim suggest that the reason being that an Eved in general is worth less than the 30 shekel. That'd be surprising for an Eved to be worth more than a Ben Chorin. And so therefore, we would assume that the Eved in general is under the level of the Shloshim shekel. All right, Tanya Kamoti de Rova. We have a Braita that supports Rova's contention over here. Bala Shor Naki, that drush from Bala Shor Naki, Rav Kiva Omer Naki Midmei Eved. Hello, Dinu. Isn't it a kavachomer? Hoil v'chiyev be'eved v'chiyev be'ben chorin. Ma k'she chiyev be'ben chorin chalakta bo ben tam lemuad. Af k'she chiyev be'eved nechalek bo ben tam lemuad. So just like by a ben chorin, you don't pay kofar when it's a tam, but you do pay kofar when it is a muad. So too by the d'mei eved, you should only be chayav to pay for the d'mei eved when it is a muad and not when it's a tam. And so therefore you have a tour of tam even without tubala shor naki. Vod kal v'chomer. In addition, you have another kal v'chomer. Uma ben chorin shnotein kol shavyo, where you pay all of its value. Chalaktabo ben tam muad, you distinguish between tam muad. Evet shnotein el shloshim, and everywhere you always pay shloshim shekel. Inudin shnechalek bo ben tam muad. Certainly we should distinguish between a tam and a muad. And just like over here, where you're paying the full value of the Ben Chorin, we still are mechalek between a tam and a muad, that a muad pays kofar and a tam does not pay kofar, then certainly by Dmei Eved, where you would be paying less than the value of the Eved, and certainly there we should differentiate between a tam and a muad and say that only a muad pays the Dmei Eved and not a tam. And therefore, again, you wouldn't need Balash or Naki because Tam would be patur from Dibay Eved. When it says, lo, machmireni be'eved, yotemi ben chorin. No, that's not the case. That is no reason to be makeyo by an Eved because Eved has a chumrah over ben chorin. She ben chorin yafes sela notain sela. Free person who's worth a sela only gets paid a sela. Shloshim notain shloshim. He's worth 30, gets paid 30. Be'eved yafes sela notain shloshim. But Eved's only worth one sela, pays 30. So based on that, you would think he'd be chayav to pay the dmei eved when he's a tam. Tamalomar balashur naki, naki mi dmei eved. That's what the drasha comes to teach you, that balashur naki mi zunaki mi the dmei eved in the case of a tam, which you wouldn't have otherwise known without the balashur naki, because you would have made a kalvachomer from a ben chorin. Along comes the pasuk to tell you that balashur naki, and you're not chayav, despite the fact that an eved is more chamur than a ben chorin. From this braita, the Balei Tosfot point out, Rabbi Akiva does not accept the position of Rabbi Eliezer, that the Baal Lashon Naki is coming to be poter chatzi kofer, but rather maintains his position that it's coming to be poter mi dmei eved. And as far as chatzi kofer is concerned, he says the fact that it's not chayav skila l'shor, it's pshita that it's patur mi kofer. In the case where the animal is not chayav skila, it's clear that it's not going to be any chiyuv kofer over there, and I won't need the Baal Lashon Naki to tell me that information. All right, Tanu Rabbanan, v'mit ish o isha, but the din of shor mu'ad, it says that v'im shor nagachu mitmol shoshom v'u'ad b'vala v'lo yishmerenu v'mit ish o isha ashor yisakel v'gam b'lav yumat. So there it says v'mit ish o isha, that it killed a man or a woman. Now the Sukkim at the beginning of that parshia began, V'chi gach shor et ish o et isha, V'meit, sako yisakel ashor, V'lo yachel et v'saro bal ashor naki, which is the case of Tam. So if by Tam already it told us that there's no distinction between ish and isha, why does by shor mu'ad it have to come again and tell us that there's no distinction between ish v'isha? That's the nature of the Gemara's question over here. Just talking about, V'emit ish o isha, Amar Rabbi Akiva chama v'zeh l'amdeinu. What is this coming to teach us? In the chayev ala isha ki ish, if it's coming to say that you are chayav for the killing of a woman, just like you're chayav for the killing of a man, ari kvar ne'amar. Already at the beginning of that parshia by Tam, it says ki kach short ish ovet isha elo lakish isha le ish. The reason that it's brought by the muad is to tell you there's a hekesh between woman and man. Ma ish nizakav li yorshav, just like by a man, if he passes away before the restitution or compensation is made, or in the case of kofer, that after he was killed by the animal, all of the nezek goes to the yorshim, to his inheritors. Afisha nizakeh the yorsha. So too by the isha, the damage goes to her inheritors, and not to the baal, and not to the husband. Basavar of Yekiva lo yarit la baal. I don't understand. Why doesn't the husband inherit the woman over here? That is a din of Yerusha that takes precedence, which is that the husband always inherits the wife. Batanya v'irashota mikancha ba yoresha tishto. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva believes that the husband does inherit his wife mi deoraita. There are opinions that say it's only a takanat chachamim, but here it's clear that Rabbi Akiva believes that the husband's right to inherit his wife is a din deoraita. If that's the case, why is it that the damages of the isha go to her inheritors and not to her husband? Reish Lakish lo amar ela bekofer. That's only by kofer. Ho ve'enu mishtalim ela achar mita. Since kofar is only paid after the death of the woman, vavelei ra'oi, and therefore it is something that is a future payment, a future asset, vena bo notel bera'oi kemuchzak. The baal is only entitled to inherit his wife for that which is muchzak, already in possession, already belonging to the woman at that point in time. Something that is a future payment that will be received by the woman, the baal has no rights or no yerusha on that. So over here, that's the case. For the case of kofer, the woman is killed by the shor. So she's no longer around to inherit the money. The money is on the come. It's when the kofer will be paid in the future. The death of the woman is immediate. The husband inherits everything at that time. Stuff that will be in the future, the husband has no rights to. And that's exactly what kofer is. It's a future payment that will be paid. My time, huh? Amar krav, I meet ish o isha, asho yisagel, v'bam ba'alav yumat, im kofer yishuat olav. The reason being, because the pasuk says, "Ve'mit isho isha, ashor yisakel," the shor is put to death, "v'gam balav yumat," and the owners are technically chayav mita, im kofer yushat alav. Kofer is placed upon him. So you see here that the kofar is only an obligation after the person has passed away, after the person was killed. So here, by the case of the isha, the chiyuv kofar only comes into existence after the woman has deceased. And in that case, the husband is no longer entitled to inherit that money because it is a post-death payment, which the husband has no rights to. Where it says, Uben Izakin lo amai Rabbi Kiva. But Nezek, Rabbi Kiva doesn't say this. Vatanya, Ikata Isha, Veyatsu Yilada. If someone hits a woman, a pregnant woman, and she miscarries, Yotei Nezek, Bitsar Li Isha. Then he pays the Nezek and the Tsar to the woman. And the reason being, as the Bali Ha Tosafot note over here, that Nezek and Tsar, the Fish Rigilo, Tosh, Misteret Yoter. Because those are things that accrue to her personally, things that she experiences personally, and therefore she's deserving of those payments to her. Whereas the Gabay, the issues of Ripoy, Shevet, and Boshet, the Bali Ha Tosafot say that in the case of the miscarriage, those are no more than a normal birth, and therefore there would be no money owed over here, or possibly Boshet as a fluctuating amount. Other Rishonim suggest that the reason that we don't mention the other items is because Ripoy and Shevet do belong to the Baal, and they are her unemployment and her doctor bills, which are the obligations of the Baal, as well as her obligations to the Baal, they would accrue to the Baal. So only things that belong to her personally are the Nezek and Tsar, and that's why the Gemara focused on those items going to the woman. Bitzvei Vladot, the Baal, and the monetary compensation for the miscarriage goes to the husband. Ain a Baal, if their husband's no longer present, meaning he passed away, Yotei Niyoshav, then it goes to his inheritors. Ain a Isha, if the woman is no longer around, no tenet the Yosha, it goes to her inheritors. So where's the husband here? The husband's not getting it either. So you see, Rabbi Kiva believes the din is not only true by kofar, he thinks the din is true also by nezek, that the husband is not entitled to the compensation that is made for nezek, and he's also not entitled to the kofar that's paid. You explain to me the whole phenomenon here has to do with kofar, because kofar all takes place after the death of the woman. But over here I have a case where I show you by nezek, that the husband also doesn't inherit his wife. And over here, the wife could be alive at this point in time, despite the fact that the wife is alive, and then passed away after the obligation for the Nezek came about. Nevertheless, the husband doesn't get it. So what's the explanation here? Aita shivcha v'nishtachara. If she was a maidservant, a shivcha kananit, and then was freed, o gioret, or she was a convert. As Rashi notes over here, it was the case where the woman who was mishuchreret was married to a ger, or was married to someone else who also does not have any inheritors. So in the case we have a ger and a gioret, or a shivcha shenishtachara with an evet shenishtachrer, where neither of them have yichus and neither of them have any relatives anymore. And that's why, as the Bali Tosfot say, it's a shivcha venishtachara that she was recently freed to tell us that they have no children, and therefore they have no inheritors over here. So in that case, zakha, then the person who did the damage takes possession of the money that he owes. Because when the ger dies, or someone has no yorshim, passes away, then it goes to the person who is holding the money at that time. Well, the person closest to the money, or holding the money right now, is the one who caused the miscarriage. And the one who caused the miscarriage is holding the money that he's supposed to have paid. So that money now reverts to him or stays with him. Rabba says the case here is bigrusha. It's a case of a divorcee. And since it's a divorcee, that's why the husband has no rights to inherit, because obviously once he's divorced from the woman, he no longer has any rights of inheritance. The way that Rashi explains it over here, bigrusha, is a case of girsha char chabala. He divorces her after the damage was done. After the incident, he divorces her. And nevertheless, he does not get any of the money because of the divorce over here. He's no longer entitled to collect the money. On the other hand, the Ravid suggests the cases where she had the injury or the damage happen after they were already divorced. V'chein amar Rav Nachman b'grusha, and Rav Nachman says the same thing by a grusha. Gemara says, imei b'grusha, nami tiflog b'dmei v'ladot. Why by the grusha is she entitled to all of the payment? Why don't we say that they also split the dmei v'ladot over there? Meaning, aren't they both partners in the dmei v'ladot? Why are the dmei v'ladot only going to the husband in that instance? Or even the better question, why aren't they totally going to the woman? She's now severed the relationship with her husband. If she severed the relationship with the husband, it should all go to her. That the Torah specifically gives the rights of the Dmei Vlado to the husband, or the male, who caused the conception over here, even if it was done biznut, meaning even if it's not done in the rubric of marriage, still whoever is the father of the vladut is the one entitled to payment. My time on America, kasher yashita lav bala isha, based on the pasuk that says that liyasoni anoshi anesh kasher yashita lav bala haisha. Natan belief mifleim, the bala isha, the one who was boel the isha, is the one who's entitled to it. Vinukma l'rabba kagon shigavu ma'ot ula rab nachman kagon shigavu karka. So why don't we set up Rabba and Rav Nachman in cases where the tomim already had taken the money? What they're discussing here, what the Gemara is jumping here to, is a different scenario entirely, but it's coming to explain the position of Rabba and Rav Nachman above. Rabba and Rav Nachman above said that the case here is a case of a grusha, and that's why the husband has no entitlement to the money, because she's divorced. And since they are divorced, the husband no longer has any rights over here, except to the Dmei Vladot, and his rights to the Dmei Vladot are Gzeirat HaKetuv. So then the Gemara says, why did Rabba and Rav Nachman have to go that route? Rabba and Rav Nachman argue in the Gemara in Baba Batra as to a Bechor. A Bechor similar to a husband is only notel b'muchzak and not b'ra'ui. He only takes a double portion in that which is already in the estate or in possession of the estate. Things that are on the come, the Bechor does not get pishnayim, does not get a double payment for that. So now, just like by the Bechor, he only gets the muzak and not the ra'oi, the same is true by the husband. He only gets the muzak and not the ra'oi. What's an example of something that is ra'oi and not muzak, according to Rabba and Rav Nachman by Bechor? That's what the Gemara is discussing over here. The Nukma the Rabba could go and should gavu ma'ot. Why don't you set up the case here by Rabba in a case where they collected money? Or the Rav Nachman go and should gavu karka, according to Rav Nachman and share karka. Dama Rabba, because Rabba believes Gavu Karka Yeshlo. Gavu Ma'ot Ainlo. If they collect Karka for an outstanding loan that their father had extended, then the Bechor gets a double portion in the Karka. The reason being is that the loan created a lien or an encumbrance on this property. And that means that already was there in place prior to the death of the father, and at the time of the death of the father, it's as if it's as if collected because the land was already encumbered, or the debt has a lien on it. On the other hand, by ma'ot, if they pay cash, meaning that these debtors pay back what they owe to the father of these yitomim, if they pay in cash, then the bechor doesn't get any benefit from that. He doesn't get a pishnayim, because that's something that was on the come, something that wasn't there prior to the, or at the time of the death of the father. Rav Nachman says just the opposite. Gavu ma'ot, if they collected cash for the loan, then yeshlo, he gets pishnayim, because the fact that the father lent money, the expectation is that he will be repaid in cash. So that cash is considered to be muchzak, as if it was paid already into the estate. Since he lent money, we expect the money to be paid back. And since we expect the loan to be paid back, it's as if it's already in the assets of the estate. Kabe karka ainlo. On the other hand, karka is not the intended way to get repaid. It's collateral, but it's not the way that he intended to get paid back. And if that's the case, that he gets paid back in karka, that's as if there's a new asset being brought into the estate, and the Bechor does not get a double portion. So, just like by the Bechor, Rabba and Rav Nachman have cases or manifestations of cases where it is ra'oi and not muchzak. For Rabba, who says that karka is considered to be muchzak, he thinks ma'ot is considered to be ra'oi. So just like by the case of Bechor, Ma'ot is considered to be Ra'oi, why don't you say the same thing by the Baal and the Isha, that Ma'ot is considered to be Ra'oi, and therefore the Baal cannot inherit it. And for Rav Nachman, who says that Ma'ot is considered to be Muzak, and Karka is considered to be Ra'oi, why don't you say the case by the Baal and the Isha is where the Nezek is being paid in Karka? So therefore it is considered to be Ra'oi and not Muzak. If that's the case, the Baal has no claim on it. The Balei Tosafot say that Rav Nachman here would even say that Ma'ot are considered to be Ra'oi, because the only time he thinks that Ma'ot are considered to be Muzak is when we're talking about debt and repayment of a loan, but not in the case of inheritance. Now then, the Re suggests that since it's the normal way, or the normal payment, like Rashi suggests, that a loan is repaid in cash, that is considered to be muzak over here, and Rav Nachman would only say karka is ra'oi and not ma'ot. So why does Rabba and Rav Nachman go to this case of grusha, that it's a divorce case, in order to explain why the husband's getting nothing over here? Why don't we say it's a regular case where they're married, but the form of payment was similar to like by Bechor, for Rabba, that means it's done as Ma'ot, or for Rav Nachman means it's done as Karka, where we consider it to be Ra'oi and not Mukzak, it's Amrei. Hanei Bilei the Bnei Marova, Libi Durabonon. That's because over there, that is according to the Bnei Eretz Yisrael that followed the Shita of the Rabbonon. Because they believe that when it comes to a Bechor, he's only entitled to Pishnaim in Mukzak, not in Ra'oi. That means that if there was a debt outstanding that was collecting Rebit that had interest on it, the Bechor has a right to collect a double portion in the debt. He does not have the right to collect a portion, a double portion in the interest that is paid. Because that's Shevach. That is appreciation to the property. That's something that is Ra'oi and not Mukzak, and therefore the Bechor doesn't get a double portion over there. Rabbi disagrees with the Chachamim and says that if there's Shvacha Memelo, if there's appreciation of the estate that comes without any investment, without any change in the status quo, like in the case of Rebit, which is that the outstanding loan is subject to interest, then the individual will collect a double portion, not only in the debt, but in the interest itself. That's the position of Rabbi. So what the Gemara is saying is here, they, Hani Milei, where do Rabbi and Rav Nachman argue about this case of Ra'oi? And what is considered to be Ra'oi by a Bechor, that is in the Bnei Marava, who follows the Shita of the Rabbonon. Kiamri Hocha, over here, where they're discussing it, with the Shita of Rabbi. Rabbi believes that that would be considered to be Mukzak as well. That Shvacha Memelor, things that come out of the estate without any additional effort by the Tomim, that's all considered to be Mukzak. If it's considered to be Mukzak, then the Bechor does get a double portion in it. Or in our scenario over here, the Baal would have a claim on it. And so therefore they can't explain, like they did in the Gemara of Bava Batra, which follows the Shita of the Chachamim, because over here, we're dealing within the Shita of Rabbi, and the Shita of Rabbi, that would be considered Mukzak. If it's considered Mukzak, then the Baal would have entitled to it, and that's what forces Rabba and Rav Nachman to explain that the scenario here where the Baal does not have a right to the compensation for the damage that goes to the woman is a case of Grusha, a case of a divorce where the husband has no longer any rights here, with the exception of the debate Vladot, which he has because of a Gzera Takatuv. Rashi notes over here that even though Rabbi Yehuda believes that Shvacha Memeila is considered to be Mukzak and not Ra'oi, he will admit by the case of Kofar that that is not the case. Because Kofar is only an obligation that exists after the passing of the woman. And therefore, it only comes into the estate after the trigger point for the inheritance. And so therefore, in the case of Nezek, there we will say, since the obligation of Nezek preceded the death of the woman, even though it's only paid afterwards, for Rabbi that will be subsumed under the Mukzak and not Ra'ui, just like it is by Bechor, and therefore the husband would be entitled to that payment. Now then, by Kofar, even though the Kofar happens because the woman was killed, but it's the obligation of the Kofar only starts or exists after the woman has passed away, and that's the point of when we determine what is considered to be the assets of the estate. And for that reason, Kofar will be considered to be Ra'oi and not Mukzak, and according to Rabbi, the Baal will not be entitled to Kofar, even though he is entitled to Nezek. Okay, we're going to stop here by the two dots in the middle of Mem Gimel Amud Aleph.